Have you ever wondered what made John the Baptist so darn compelling? Well, I have. It was worth a shot. Really, sometimes I forget. This is out in the middle of the wilderness. This is beyond the comfort of what is safe. This is not within the city bounds. This is out in the desert, out in the wilderness, that people are streaming to this John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. What is it? What is it that has them so ready to listen? As I've been reading this text this week, I wonder if it has something to do with John and something to do with the people there. I wonder if John is articulating something that they already know to be true but cannot yet voice. That he's speaking to something that is shared and that is known but cannot be articulated. I wonder if what he is speaking to is this gap that exists between the ways that these people have been asked to live and the law that has been written upon their hearts. I wonder if they are so compelled because he is able to name it. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt that gap between the way that you know you are to live, and then how other people are asking or demanding or subtly using their pressure so that you live another way? Do you know what that feels like? Well, then you might know what it's like for those people to be down by the riverside, out in the wilderness. If this morning you know what that feels like, friends, well then you and I, we can get in line ourselves. Recently, I was walking along 4th Street in West Berkeley, and I walked past a clothing store, and in their display window, I saw several onesies. You know, onesie, the epitome of infant leisure wear. And there was one onesie in particular that caught my eye. It was sized for probably about a 6-month-old, and it was all black. And in white, all caps lettering, it said, "Smash the patriarchy." And then, below that, in smaller lettering in parentheses, it said, "Dad's cool, though." Smash the patriarchy. Dad's cool, though. Now, for the purposes of this sermon, I'm going to set aside the benefits and the drawbacks of using one's infant to broadcast one's beliefs, just for the moment. And I'd like to spend some time with the message, because the message is one that I believe in. And the message, and particularly the smash the patriarchy, is relatively standard fare for around here. Relatively. The context notwithstanding. The part below it, that's what really caught my attention and what has stayed with me since. Dad's cool there. Dad's cool, though. And I think it's because it speaks to an often unarticulated anxiety. Can I really want to smash the patriarchy and still love my dad? And I get it. Because I'm a man, and I'm a dad. And I want to dismantle the attitudes and the norms and the practices and the structures that underlie a belief in the supremacy of men. And so I get this rub. And I understand why. Why? Because the 19th Amendment. Because this barely budging wage gap. Because Harvey Weinstein and Charlie Rose and Leslie Moonves and. And because I'm a man who feels that gap. So what then should I do? This is the fundamental question that those gathered in the wilderness with John the Baptist we're asking. Because John has very clearly laid out his sense of what is right and what needs to happen to get there. And John is not there to build up anybody's self-esteem. There are no trophies for participation for John the Baptist. John sees what is wrong and is doing his best to help people understand their responsibility in making it right. So what are we to do? Well, what I find interesting is what John does not say. John does not say, remove yourselves from the world because it is a tangled and unholy mess. He does not say that. He also does not say, stop being a tax collector, or stop being a soldier, or stop wearing a coat, or stop eating. He says none of that. It's almost as if he's saying, I get it, you want out. But that's not the way it works. Do you use a credit card? Do you know the name on a first name basis of everybody who's grown your food? Do you use dollars that are protected by the United States military? I do. What then should we do? What then should we do? What John says is actually quite simple. if you have more than you need, and you see another in need, give to them. So that they have enough clothes to protect themselves from the storms, so that they have enough food to sustain themselves. And then it gets specific. Because the people there down by the riverside, they were feeling this gap in very particular ways. Even the tax collectors are there, and they say, so what then should we do? And the soldiers who are there, the agents of the empire, what then should we do? And he says, don't be greedy. Do not use your position to extort. Do not use your power over and against those who have little or none. Remain where you are. Live justly and with mercy. And so I wonder if we were there today, if we were down by the water's edge with John and we were there, would we say, what about me? What should I do? A teacher or a biologist or a data analyst or an environmental lawyer or an administrator or a hedge fund manager or a police officer. What should I do? Remain where you are. Live with justice. And the hard part is that the systems that we are a part of, they always warp us slowly but inevitably to their own ends. And there come these moments when we feel it, right? In our bodies, we feel that gap. And we have to make a choice. You do not get a choice as to where you've been planted. You do get a choice as to what you do with it. And I think we know this, we see this, and we experience this through another of the metaphors that John uses. Talks about the fruit that trees bear. And so, what is born? For me, that question is, how will I live as a man, and in my case, as the shaper of young men, in a world where the system of patriarchy intends to deform me? How will I be a steadfast ally with women? And for me, it has been to continue to inquire and to listen. And when asked, to stand up and to act. And I do this not only for the women around me, but also because, much like the tax collector and the soldier, it is my dignity that is at risk as well. What is the fruit that you and I, that we will bear? We do not get a choice as to where we are planted. I did not choose the power and the privilege that have been afforded me. But I have a choice as to how to use it. Whether we are planted in rocky soil with vine and weed all around, we have been planted in a world that surrounds and pulls and twists at us. But the choice that remains with us is how we will choose to live in it.